Joshua chapter 3. This is a passage of scripture the last few years that God has used in my own life and in many ways. I hope it'll be a blessing to you tonight. Story of a boy who was in his house and one night it caught fire. And he had to, escape to the roof to save his life. And his father stood on the ground below with the outstretched arms calling to him. And he said, "Jump, I'll catch you." The boy had to jump to save his life. But all the boy could see was flame, smoke, darkness. As can be imagined, he was afraid to jump and he couldn't. He was hesitating and his father kept saying, "Jump, I'll catch you." But the boy said, "Daddy, I can't see you." The father replied, "But I can see you. And that's all that matters." Tonight, I want to speak on the subject of faith. I want to speak on the subject of something that we know so well. We can talk about it. We can speak about it. We can see people saved. We've experienced faith in our own lives. We will point people to faith in Jesus Christ. Practically, we experience faith every day, don't we? If you've flown an airplane anytime recently, you had a lot of faith in the airplane, the pilot. You had faith in the mechanics. Read the news recently. Don't have a lot of faith in mechanics at the moment. Airplane mechanics. Southwest airplane mechanics. You got to read the news if you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, look it up afterwards. It will make you probably don't fly anymore. But you have to have faith. You have to have faith in driving a car that's going to go somewhere for you. You have to have faith to do a lot of things in life. But as Christians, so many times we live our life talking about faith, but not living in faith. We talk about it, but practically it doesn't show up in our life. You look at this passage of Scripture, Joshua chapter 3. We know what's going on. Let's imagine for a moment. I have a great imagination. I always have had as a kid. Now I still do at 30 years old. How many of you would tonight say, understandably, I have a great imagination, Brother Van Gelder? Come on now. All right, come on. See, I had a couple of older guys put their hands up and just, okay, I got it up there. All right, all of you, I just feel bad for you. When you read a book, what do? Just read the black and white? You don't imagine where you are? I'm sorry. Well, we're going to imagine tonight, okay? I know you know the end of the story, okay? Don't be one of those spoilers, okay? Here, we're going to go to the beginning of the story in Joshua chapter 3. And I want you to imagine that you were one of the Israelites standing there on the bank of the Jordan River. Now, imagine with me. Here we are. 40 years we've traveled through the wilderness. 40 years we have gone through trials. We've gone through what God has put the Israelites through because of the sins of their fathers. And they're going through the 40 years of the wilderness. And here they are. And they're at the bank of the Jordan River. And they can see the promised land. They're at the place where God has brought them. And they can see what God has promised them. And they're excited about it. And unfortunately, right in front of them is an impossibility. The Jordan River. They're standing there in the Jordan River, and they see what God has promised them, and this massive impossibility is not a creek, it's not a little trickling water stream, it is a massive rushing, as verse 15 says, it's overflowing its banks, it's time of harvest. I think Mississippi River in my mind, you guys have a river around here, what is it called? That, one of those, okay? That, okay? That river, think about that at its highest and its most incredible force, that's what we're talking about. And they're standing there, and God speaks to Joshua in verse number 5. Well, Joshua says to the people first, "Sanctify yourselves, for the Lord will do, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And verse number 7, "The Lord said to Joshua, 'This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee.'" I'll come back to that in just a moment. "And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan." I know we know the story, but think about what just was said. Standing still in the water of Jordan. We'll come back there. Joshua said to the children of Israel, "Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God." And he speaks there in verse number 10. And he'll talk about the fact that without fail, I'm going to drive out all these inhabitants. He's talking about what God's doing. It's an amazing promise. What's coming next in the promised land. This first step has to happen, though. In verse 11, the whole ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord, Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon as in heat. I know we know what happened, but can you imagine being the front two guys on the ark that day? Why did I get picked for the front right corner of this morning? Oh, man. I mean, seriously, no disrespect meant to the story at all, but just imagine with me. You're human. They are too, and they're about to walk into the water. There's no boats. There's no bridge. This is a rushing river, a huge body of water, and the ark is not light. It's a heavy object, and it's the most precious thing the Israelites have. And now they're told walk into the water with it. That doesn't make any sense. But they said when you do that and your feet touch the water, it's going to split. Like the Red Sea. It's going to split. It's going to stand up. It's going to be a miracle. But you have to walk into the water. Well, we know what happened. Verse number 14, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the Lord people. Here they come. Verse 15, and as they that bear the Ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water. Verse 16, the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam that is beside Zarahan. And those that came down towards the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jordan. An amazing miracle happened. You cannot explain this humanly, can you? Can you? It's impossible for a rushing river to split, stop, stand up, and stay there. And to have enough room for millions to cross. Somebody told me after I preached this message, an older gentleman came to me and said, you're talking about one miracle, there's two here. That water standing up, it's supposed to go somewhere. That didn't go anywhere. That's a true statement. God did a lot of things that were impossible. But you know what? The Israelites stood there and they watched this happen. And can you imagine what happened in their own hearts? Can you imagine the leap of excitement? Whoa! The promised land's ahead of us. As they run forward into what God has given to them, all because of the faith of these men who took God at His word and stepped into the water. Tonight I'm going to preach a short little message entitled, Wet Feet Miracles. Wet Feet Miracles, what happens when you step into the water and believe God? Victorious Christian is one who believes the promises of God and steps boldly into the water by faith. I don't know what the water is for you tonight, but God knows what it is, and I think you know what it is. Everybody in their life at some time, God brings them to the Jordan River. And there's great victory on the other side. And there's great blessings that God wants for your life. And you come to the Jordan River. And you stop. And God's given you clear direction in His Word. And He's given you clear direction through the preaching of the Word of God or your time with God. And He's given you something to do. And you know the step to take. And you stand there going, I can't do it. But a victorious Christian, one who sees the blessings of God, one who understands who God is one who understands and believes the promises of God. Christian, tonight, do you believe the promises of God? You can quote the promises of God, but do you believe them? My great-grandmother was a prayer warrior, and she had a Bible that she would highlight all the promises of God throughout the entire Bible. And she would not just pray the promises of God when something came up. She would go through the entire Bible, find the promise that was the best for that situation, and then pray to God this. God, you're God. You promised this, and so you have to answer it. If you don't, you're not God. But I believe that you are, so you have to answer it. I'm confident that you will. Prayer done. I mean, she was a prayer warrior. She understood faith more than I think most of us do. And she understood what it meant to step into the water and believe God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We can't understand what God's doing, but He's given us some clear directions and some clear steps and some clear promises. And we can step out to absolute belief that God's word is true. It's practical. Three quick things tonight. What is a wet feet miracle, first of all? What is a wet feet miracle? What is this? Well, I can just give you this. It's experiencing something that can only be explained by God. I'm not talking about, maybe it's a financial problem tonight. money coming down literally from heaven. You know, it's, whoa, that came out of a tree. Okay, $1,000, that's nice. That doesn't happen, okay? Some people have stories of money just coming, you know, in the mail, $1,000. Wow, I mean, that would be amazing. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes God chooses to do that for his children. But you know, there are things that God does when you take a step of faith. The blessings that come may come in the form of peace in your heart, first of all. Sometimes we look for things. Okay, the blessing's over there. It's going to be whatever it is. It's going to be this object that you have in your mind. You objectify what God has for you. And then you take a step of faith based on that. And then that doesn't come and you get all confused. No. Faith is saying, God, this is your promise. And I'm believing you for whatever you're going to give me. And whatever peace you're going to give me. Whatever joy you're going to give me. And the answer God's going to give me. I am expecting great things from God. And it can only be explained by God. Let me ask you a question, Christian. How much of your life tonight is explained by you? And how much of your life tonight is explained only by God? If we were to peel back the layers of our life tonight, as embarrassing as that might be, how much of our life would be seriously all us? Too much, wouldn't it? There's probably some people in this room, peel back the layers of your life, and we would see faith everywhere. Your whole life would be faith, faith, faith. Every step you take, faith, faith, faith. There's some biblical examples of wet feet miracles in the Bible, and we'll go into, for time's sake, Matthew 14 talks about Peter, a literal wet feet miracle, isn't it? Another one. He got out of the boat. You know, we talk about Peter. He sank in the water. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you walked on water? 11 guys sat in the boat. Peter got out in a storm, on a massive sea that was very deep, and it was black, and probably lightning and thunder and rain. He got out of the boat and walked. Under his own power? No. He believed, he had faith that when he put his foot out, that it was going to feel like the ground, not he was going to be swimming or drowning. And God did something there. And Peter experienced a wet feet miracle. You go through the Word of God, Daniel's three friends, Daniel, the lion's den, Elijah, David, and Goliath. And you could literally, Gideon and his 300 men, so many times where these men, these women in the Bible and throughout history, when they take steps of faith that seemed impossible and seemed crazy, but they were steps of faith based on the promises of what God had said. And guess what? Lo and behold, God showed up. So many times we think that I couldn't do that. Take God at his word. Wet feet miracle is something that can only be explained by God. But you know what? We don't see them. Because they're hindered. What hinders wet feet miracles tonight? Moving quickly. Number two, what hinders wet feet miracles? Well, you know what kind of hinder wet feet miracles in Joshua chapter 3 is those two men, those four men, Joshua himself saying, God, are you kidding me? Walk into the water? There's got to be a better way. Hey, do we have an Israelite Army Corps of Engineers? Hey, step forward, guys. Boats, bridges, rafts. Anybody want to float this thing across? Anything else but walk into the water? That would be really humiliating if it didn't happen. You know, I think the biggest thing that hinders us in our lives is fear of failure. God has put it clearly out. You know, Pastor Starr preaches here in this pulpit or whoever else is visiting and preaching, and God lays it out for you. Boom. And you say, I can't do that. There's no way if I did that. You know, this guy over here, my friend over here, he steps in the water, man, it parts. Pastor over here, or my friend over here, family member over here, they step in the water, man, it's parting. But for me, if I stepped in, I would drown. There's no way. God wouldn't do it for me. You know what that is? It's unbelief. It's like a young boy. He couldn't see his dad on the ground. He couldn't see the reality that if he jumped into the darkness, into the flames, into what seemed crazy, that his dad would be there to catch him. You know, faith is not just blind, okay. No. We know God's there. That boy didn't jump off a roof thinking, whatever, I hope somebody's there to catch me. No, his daddy was there. I have an illustration from my own life, and I'll say it quickly. How many of you know the boundary waters of Minnesota? Up north of Minnesota. They're quite, it's an amazing lake system. It goes into Canada. We took a three or four day canoe trip out there with our camping trip with our youth group. It was crazy. We took a day just to canoe out there. And in our canoes, and Long story short, we're way out in the boonies. I mean, we're on different islands to stay, and then we ate on a different island and preached. It was just crazy. So we're doing the swim time, guys swim time on this other island, and there's these massive 15 and 25-foot jump-off parts into the water. I can't swim really well. I have a fear of underwater because my brother and his friends dunked me by surprise underwater growing up. That doesn't really help anything. So that was part of the problem. So I did not want to jump off. I'm in my canoe, had a life jacket on. I get to the point, and the guy's like, "You got to do it." I said, "You got to be kidding me." I said, "No, I'm not jumping." Eventually, I got up on the rocks. I was looking around, and they're like, "My youth pastor said I'll be right there for you. I can." He's a great swimmer. No, it's okay. Well, my dad showed up, khakis, polo, water shoes. He was preaching at the camp. He was just watching. All of a sudden, I jumped. And the guys asked me afterwards, "What in the world? We were right there. Why did you jump when your dad showed up?" And they said, "We could have helped you." I said, "I don't care. I don't care if you're Michael Phelps. My dad was there. My dad was a great swimmer. I don't care who you were. My father was there. And I know if something happened, my dad would be right there for me. In a much greater way, infinite more greater way, God's there when we take this step. When you take that impossible step into the river that you think, I'm going to drown right now. This is not going to happen. But God, you said it in your word. You made a promise in your word. I'm taking the step. God's right there. What do you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thought when they got tossed into a fire that the guys who tossed them in died while tossing them in? God was there immediately. God showed up. His presence was there. That step you take, God is there to help you take the step. God is there to meet you, and He blesses you when you take the step. But you know, unfortunately, what else hinders us is sin in our lives. You wonder why God doesn't bless you. You wonder why God's not doing things for you. You wonder why it's not raining blessings on you like it is other places. And you wonder why the river's not parting. It's because there's sin in your life. And God's saying, "Hey, get this out of your life before I can do this in your life." And you're saying, "No, I don't think I'm going to do that. But hey, God, please bless me over here." There's a reason you're drowning in the river, because God can't even hear your prayers. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." We sometimes get things mixed up, the cart before the horse. That's what's blocking wet feet miracles tonight. That's why our life is explained by us. And finally, we're done. What's the result of wet feet miracles? And we know it. Look at verse number 7. The Lord said to Joshua, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee." They knew. God is with us. Jehovah God is in control. 40 years in the wilderness, okay. I don't know what was going on with my forefathers and then not believing God, but my God, you showed up and that was a miracle. Wow. The Israelites were excited, and 3 years of victory after victory after victory after victory, as God promised in verse 10. They wiped out the land of Canaan and became the promised land. What an amazing thing God did. That was the result of a wet feet miracle. Faith was strengthened. These men stepped into the water, and as a result, millions of people's faith were strengthened. Your faith, what God does in your life as you take a step of faith, will encourage this entire church and this entire community, and may change somebody's life, and may change the world. I know of young people in our college, young people in our church, who, because of testimonies of what God did, their lives were changed, and God used those as a series of events to progress. And they're serving God now in the mission field or wherever. You never know what your step of faith. I mean, we ride a coach bus that God did something. That was a miracle, a major step into the water. We have land that we're going to be, Lord willing, building on in the years to come, that God gave us a major step of faith into the water. I mean, it's all over the place. These students here, they are in a building that God gave us, the Heritage Center. It's amazing. God did it. God's waiting for you. What does it take? It takes obedience, it takes humility, and it takes a belief that God will do it. What about you tonight? I don't know what relationship issue. I don't know what financial issue. I don't know what problem in your life needs God. But you can talk about faith all you want, but until you take the step of faith to believe it, nothing's going to happen. Close with a quick illustration. My wife and I, last year, I can't go into details because of time. Last year, my wife and I were in need of a house. We were moving. We had to move because of some situations in our apartment, and but I didn't want to move, and I had two sheets to turn in, either lease the apartment one more year or not lease it. And I knew God was leading me to not do it, and I just didn't want to. I was thinking of every situation possible, everything, and I just could not fit together humanly. Obviously, God wanted me to move. And God had led us to do this, but I had no money in my bank account. It doesn't help to move. If you don't know that, I mean, if young people, it doesn't help. You don't have money in your bank account. It doesn't help when you're on the road all summer, and it takes 45 days to closing. You have to move out by August 31st. You're on the road all summer. I just said that. You have not looked at any houses yet, and you're on the road at the point that you're doing this. And God says, move. It's impossible. There's a major Jordan River in front of me. I'm a guy that likes to have everything in order. And God says, I want you to look to me. I'm preaching this message at a church, June 15th, the day I had turned those sheets into the apartment complex. I came down up the message, and I'm fighting. And God, my wife came up to the front row when I was came down from the invitation, and God just hit me with a 2x4 over the head and said, you are a hypocrite. I feared failure. I feared if I stepped out and said, okay, God, he was going to let me drown. What unbelief. Long story short, looked at three houses. We had 1 week back at home, looked at three houses. The third house we looked at was the house that God gave us. God gave it to us. They gave me $300. I didn't pay a cent at closing. I shouldn't be in the house. It's 2 minutes from church. Beautiful little one-story ranch house, a little playground in the back for my little daughter. Perfect little home for my family that God gave me. Absolutely impossible. You know, it could be a way bigger than a house, a material thing. And God's waiting for you to put that step of faith and put that foot in the water. What about it tonight, Christian? Is it worth it to stand and watch? Or are you going to get in the water and experience a wet feet miracle tonight?